Hi, everyone. My name is Alexa, and you're listening to MedCurity Live. With me today, I have Greg Hoffman from PowBox, a company that has created one of the most sophisticated HIPAA-compliant email encryption software products on the market. First off, I just want to say thank you so much for coming onto the show today, Greg. It's really great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Alexa. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So obviously, since Greg has a lot of experience with email encryption, that's going to be the main topic for today. And I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into the questions, which all surround HIPAA compliance and email encryption and how the two of those coincide and what exactly you need to do to have a HIPAA compliant email. So that leads us to our first question, which just kind of talks about HIPAA compliance in general. And the question is, what exactly makes a company HIPAA compliant?
Yeah, Alexa, that's a great question. And it's funny because you'll come across a lot of organizations with a seal on their website stating that they're HIPAA compliant. Well, the truth of the matter is that Health and Human Services, HHS, doesn't actually give something like this out. There's no official HIPAA certificate or stamp of approval that you can receive. HIPAA compliance regulations apply to covered entities and business associates. And when I say covered entities, I'm referring to a healthcare organization who handles protected health information, or PHI. And for those listening in, PHI is anything that can identify a patient or their medical history. So name, email address, the list goes on. And a business associate would be a service provider who's helping perform healthcare activities for a covered entity and handles protected health information in order to do so. So whether you're a covered entity or a business associate, here's a list of things that you should do in order to be HIPAA compliant. So first off, you're going to want to designate a HIPAA privacy officer. This will ensure your company is able to stay on top of the constantly changing HIPAA regulations. Once you do that, you're going to want to develop privacy and security policies for your organization. So in other words, you need to create HIPAA policies for your organization and train your staff on an annual basis. Thirdly, you'll want to roll out technical, physical, and administrative safeguards in order to secure any PHI that you're handling. Then on a regular basis, you'll need to conduct a risk assessment in order to constantly ensure compliance and address any potential vulnerabilities that arise. And fifth, you'll want to offer a business associate agreement. The BAA is an absolute critical factor in being HIPAA compliant. And then number six, you want to create a breach notification process. And last but not least, I can't stress this enough, you're going to want to be sure you actually document everything that you're doing in accordance to HIPAA, because that data is going to be looked at if you're running into something like an audit. If you're experiencing that, this is the data they're going to be reviewing.
Yeah, definitely. That last step is so important, because if you don't document everything that you do, all the steps that you took to follow HIPAA compliance, it's literally as if you didn't do any of it at all. Because if you do ever undergo an audit and you say, well, we did all of these things, but you don't have any proof, it's just like in a court of law. If there's no proof, it's like it never happened. So that is a very, very important step, as Greg said. And that leads us on to our next question. Can you just talk a bit about email security and how it applies to HIPAA? How exactly? And I just want to say that I've had a lot of experience talking with providers and doctors in particular that are really stressed about sending emails to patients. They get very hesitant to do it because they're so afraid about following HIPAA, which is understandable because emails in general tend to not be very secure. If a patient is using a basic email, it's not always the best format to send them that information, but oftentimes it's the exact format that they want that email in. So a lot of times providers just like to avoid email security in general and just stick with paper records. But that's not really something that we can do nowadays, since everything is moving so quickly towards technology and being able to send things digitally. So can you just talk about email security and how it applies to HIPAA?
Happy to do so. And you're right, Alexa. I mean, these doctors are right to be cautious about sending protected health information. If you're doing this in an unencrypted format, number one, you're risking the sensitive data that's being transmitted, which hackers can use on the black market for a variety of different reasons. And also, you're going to run into HIPAA violations, and those things they can be pretty scary. So it's interesting because HIPAA compliance affects all aspects of your company's business. Everything from how you train your staff, how you store your physical data, how you transmit your EPHI, what you do if there's a natural disaster. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And an area of HIPAA that my company, Palbox, specifically focuses on is HIPAA-compliant email. So I'm happy to dive into this portion of the question. Meaning, if you're a healthcare organization and you're handling PHI or you're transmitting it via email, well, you're going to want to be sure you're actually doing so in a HIPAA-compliant manner, because the last thing you want to do is run into a HIPAA breach. As I mentioned earlier, those HIPAA violations can do some serious damage to your organization's bottom line and cost you even more in your reputation. In order to ensure your email is HIPAA-compliant, you'll want to be sure you have a solution that will secure your data at rest and in transit. Anytime you're transmitting PHI, you're going to want to make sure that you have email encryption in place. So the first thing you want to do, of course, is train your staff in HIPAA compliance. The second thing you want to do is be sure you have a business associate agreement. We talked about this previously, which is a key component in being HIPAA compliant. You want a BAA with your email hosting provider, like Microsoft 365 or G Suite. And then you want to be sure, if you have a third-party email encryption solution, that they also offer a BAA. Under HIPAA compliance, it's your responsibility to encrypt and secure any PHI that your organization transmits from A to B. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually leads us to our third question, because you mentioned Microsoft 365 and G Suite. And those are obviously two of the most common email platforms that patients in particular, and also Microsoft, is widely used in the workforce. Are either of those platforms HIPAA compliant at all?
That's a great question. So there is some confusion around Outlook.com email addresses and Gmail.com being HIPAA compliant. And the answer to that question is Outlook.com and Gmail are not HIPAA compliant. You need to have a business version of Microsoft or of Gmail. So Google's business version would be referred to as G Suite. So you can be HIPAA compliant with Microsoft 365 and G Suite, because if you have the business version, then Google and Microsoft will sign that business associate agreement with you. Now, depending on the level, the type of G Suite that you have, or the type of Microsoft 365 type of plan that you have purchased, you can actually have email encryption bundled in. So you can definitely check the box by saying, you know, we have email encryption, we have a BAA with our email host, we're securing our data at rest and in transit, but there are still vulnerabilities with the type of encryption that you get with both 365 and G Suite, meaning that the encryption responsibility is up to your staff, they're up to your employees. And if you have a large organization, well, you have to train each employee. This is how you identify sensitive data. This is how you actually encrypt an email. And then you're going to run the risk of them making a mistake, because unfortunately, you know, human beings make mistakes every day. So just to kind of summarize, you can certainly be HIPAA compliant with Microsoft 365 and G Suite with their BAA and email encryption. However, there are some third-party email encryption solutions where you'll be a little more secure and you'll minimize your risk of a HIPAA breach by rolling out a separate platform.
Yeah. And one thing that I want to mention too about this topic in particular, it doesn't have to deal so much with email encryption, but if you're in a position as a doctor or a healthcare worker and you are requested by a patient to send information, their PHI, via email, and you want a little bit more protection when it comes to a potential violation of HIPAA through maybe that information being leaked, even if you have some good basic encryption. Let's just say you want a little bit more protection. The best thing to do in this kind of situation is make sure that you inform a patient of the potential risks that are involved with sending medical records through email. If you inform a patient of those risks and you have documentation stating that you informed them and they were aware of that, then you are not liable if any information is leaked. Now, that is not to say that you should not set up good email encryption or that you shouldn't have that as a part of your system. I think that's very necessary, but I know that everybody kind of likes to have extra precautionary measures to make sure you're protecting yourselves from all sides, because you never know what could happen nowadays. I mean, sometimes even the best of systems have gotten hacked or experienced breaches. So I like to inform you guys of any potential ways that you guys can protect yourselves from all sides. Make sure you're doing email encryption, make sure you're informing your patients, those kinds of steps. Then you can have a little bit more peace of mind when you send information via email, because people aren't going to stop asking for their information to be sent through email or text. They're going to continue to ask that. And even more so now with people not really wanting to go to the hospital unless they absolutely have to, or leave their house if they absolutely have to. So I just want to inform all of our listeners about that. And then our last question is, what are the biggest threats to email security today? That's kind of a loaded question because there's so many, but why don't you go ahead and boil down some of the most important ones?
Yeah, happy to, Alexa. I would say easily the biggest threat to email security today is the human element. It's got to be the fact that human beings are flawed creatures. So I'll give a couple examples and kind of explain what I mean by this. So if you're talking about the email encryption, we talked about this previously with 365 and G Suite's encryption, where you have to manually select which emails you want to encrypt. Well, that is going to be a vulnerability for your organization, especially if you have a large number of employees. That's a larger risk that they might make a mistake in identifying that sensitive data or typing in a keyword or clicking an encryption button. So potentially you can have sensitive data be transmitted unencrypted. Also, many times what happens is recipients end up complaining about the encryption process that they have to go through in order to read an email. And they'll complain and they'll say to the sender, hey, are you able to send this unencrypted? Because that responsibility is on the sending side many times, they'll say yes, they'll comply. And now they're sending an email that is not encrypted and perhaps needed to be. So that's a huge vulnerability there. Then on the receiving side, when you're talking about mail filtering or inbox protection, there is a large issue with display name spoofing phishing attacks. This is the most common type of phishing attack today. It makes up 91% of phishing attacks. And the way it works is basically a hacker will take some generic Gmail, AOL, Yahoo email address. They'll change the name on it to match someone of importance in your organization, maybe your CEO, your CFO. And then they'll email one of your employees and request that sensitive data, money, you name it, be sent to them with urgency, right? They use their fake authority to establish urgency and request this information be sent immediately. And it's a very simple type of attack, because what happens is the employee, they look at their boss's name, they go ahead and they send over the information, but they're sending it to an external threat, to some type of hack, some type of hacker out there. So I would say, without a doubt, the biggest threat to email security is the human element, just making human mistakes.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, with email encryption, you can potentially remove the human element by using a software program such as PowerBox that automatically does the encryption for you, which is wonderful. But when it comes to phishing scams, there are certain programs that can block a large percentage of spam type emails that come into your inbox. However, there's still that risk of emails still slipping through that are phishing scams. And so it's very, very important to focus on employee training. And I think a lot of the times people are hesitant to do employee training because they're concerned it's going to be costly or it's going to take too much time. But really, there are some simple tools and programs that you can utilize that make training a very simple process. And the time and money that you spend on training is very insignificant compared to the cost that would occur if there was a breach or if a phishing scam led to ransomware or malware. Phishing scams are a huge majority of scams, email scams in general. And especially after the pandemic hit, we saw huge uptake in phishing scams because a lot of people were so stressed and in fear about a bunch of different things like COVID in general or employment. So there were a lot of opportunities for hackers and cyber criminals to utilize positions of authority, whether that be in the government or, like you said, maybe a boss, and come in to and create specific emails that would manipulate people in a certain way. And although there are ways that you can block those kinds of emails, some can slip through still. So you have to make sure to really inform your employees on those kinds of risks and continually train them. And there are ways that you can do that through setting up fake phishing scams to be sent out to your employees and see which ones open them and which ones don't, and then continually test the individuals that accidentally opened the phishing scam and make sure that they understand how to look out for them and how to prevent that from happening in the future. And again, human element is just a huge part of the mistakes that happen in HIPAA compliance, whether it be human mistakes that occur by losing a device or accidentally losing PHI. Human error is just one of the main reasons for HIPAA violations. So it's one of the main things that you need to focus on through training. And that's really the only way that you can eliminate or significantly reduce, because there's no way we can eliminate human error. Unfortunately, as Greg said, we're flawed. We're not perfect, but there are ways that you can significantly reduce human error. And training is one of the best ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. This is definitely not an area that you want to ignore. I mean, if you look at HHS's Wall of Shame, you'll see there's a lot of organizations on there that have listed the location of reach as email. So definitely be cautious. Sometimes it does make sense to roll out a third party, even if your email host provides spam filtering. And, you know, the cost of these breaches, they range from, you know, $100 to $50,000 per violation, with a maximum penalty of $1.5 million per year. So this is not something to not take seriously. You definitely want to focus on mail filtering and protecting your employees' inboxes, as you said, Alexa, through training and just rolling out the right solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really want to emphasize too that right now the OCR and the HHS, although they have been lenient because of COVID-19 and they want to give healthcare workers some leniency around HIPAA compliance in order to provide the best care possible for COVID-19 patients, whether that's allowing a little bit more PHI to be shared through contact tracing or through COVID-19 apps that focus on vaccine appointment booking and things like that. They're not being lenient around issues like breaches in these kinds of situations because they have nothing to do with COVID-19. So don't buy into the lie that the OCR is being lenient around these kinds of issues. These issues are becoming more intense. They're becoming more prevalent. They are becoming more serious. And the OCR is fining people more because of that, because they want people to know that it's more important now than ever to protect patient data, because cyber criminals are becoming more aggressive and they're utilizing stronger tactics and they are essentially ruining people's lives through identity theft from medical records.
Yeah. And Alexa, you brought up a really good point. I mean, beyond HIPAA, you want to roll out these email security measures for your patient's best interest. You mentioned that, you know, these hackers are stealing people's identity. They're filling out fake claims and they're essentially ruining people's lives. So you want to do this for your patients, not just because you're scared of a HIPAA fine. And if you do run into a HIPAA violation, that is going to be public information. And the fine may hurt, but what's going to hurt you even more is the damage to your reputation, because your clients aren't going to want to work with you if you're not doing your due diligence to secure your data. If you're not taking HIPAA compliance seriously, that's going to drastically negatively affect your business.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot more understanding from the OCR when it comes to if a breach occurs, but you did everything in your power to prevent it. People are so much more understanding of that because of how many organizations have been hit. Some really high profile organizations that obviously have high security measures, but they still were hit. So what people want to know more is, did you take every single measure that you could to prevent it? And that comes through completing your security risk assessment and really writing down and documenting every single thing that you did to protect your organization, because really that's what people care about. They want to know, what steps did you take to protect patient data?
Yep.
That's really a very primary focus.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we are done with our questions for the day. And I just want to say thank you so much again, Greg, for coming on. You really brought some great insight on HIPAA compliance and email encryption. And it was just really great to hear your thoughts on this subject.
Yeah, thanks, Alexa. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for thinking of me and having me on.
Absolutely. To all our listeners out there, thank you so much for taking the time to tune in. If you're interested in taking care of all your HIPAA needs with a one-stop shop, then you've come to the right place. The MedCurity platform provides a powerful and intuitive approach to security risk analysis, policy management, and HIPAA training. Find us at MedCurity.com and mention you listen to our podcast for a special subscription discount.